بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، وصلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلمين. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed to be in the holy month of Ramadan, and we are blessed to be given the permission to enter this month. The thing that allows us to enter this ziyafat of Allah is fasting. Without fasting, a person doesn't even enter this month. An entrance to a ziyafat requires certain shara'it conditions. The basic shart is the niyat of fasting, because this is a month of fasting. That's why it becomes the month of ziyafat. If a person does not fast, he's not into the month of Ramadan, unless there is a uzr shar'i, there is a valid reason not to fast. For example, a person is sick and fasting is harmful to him. A sick person, not every sick person, a sick person who cannot fast, because if he fasts or she fasts, it will harm his body or her body. Fear of harm. Or for example, a person is traveling, musafir, a person who is traveling is been exempted. Except in very few cases where a person is traveling and his work is in travel or has to constantly travel very frequently, that is an exception in certain cases, that's other thing. Otherwise, sick person and traveler are exempted from fasting. But fasting is very important. In the ahadith we find this madmoon, this meaning that as-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Sawm, fasting is for me and I reward the sa'im. Who said it? The Prophet said through Hadith Qudsi, you know, like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not in the Holy Quran, As-sawmu li, fasting is for me. Every other action a person does for oneself, you know, there's reward. For every good action, there are many time reward, you know. Like you do one good action, Allah will reward you several times more. Until, for example, a person may do a good action and may get rewards 700 times the reward of an action. That depends on how a person, how pure is his niyat. But the niyat, the reward of fasting is unlimited. For example, for an action, there may be 10 times reward. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. A person does good action, there are 10 times reward of good action. You know, when in other places in the Quran you say that, you know, that anbatat sab'a sanabil, you know, and then fi kulli sumbulatin mi'atu habba, it's like a seed. A good action, a good faith is like a seed that you put, it sprouts 7 stems from it. And from every stem you get 100, you know, seeds from it, fruits. So certain good action may amount to 700 times the reward. But still there is some level, some level of that. But for fasting there is no level assigned. There is no limit assigned to fasting. the reward assigned is a saumuli. Saum is for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as the Holy Prophet said. That Allah says, a saumuli wa ana ajzibi, and I will reward for it. And I will not give the reward of fasting, I will not hand over this task of rewarding for sawab to send someone else. For example, I'm not going to delegate this task to someone else. I personally will reward the person who fasts. There have been a lot of discussion why, for example, this statement, وَأَنَا أَجْزِيبِهِ, that I will reward the person who fasts. Why is this meaning? All the major scholars, or most of them, have said something on this subject, you know. What makes fasting so unique and so different from other, you know, actions, good actions? Well, I will present you some thoughts that ulama have presented, you know. Well, one reason is that all actions are done, they are visible. For example, you stand up to do salat, people see you doing salat, you know. It's a fi'l. It's an action that is visible, people see it. But sawm is not an action, it's not fi'l, it is tark. It is abstaining from something. When you do something, the chances of showing off, riya, are very, very much there, to different degrees, but it's there. But when you leave something, you are not doing something, there's nothing that is visible to other people. So it is you inside yourself. If you don't tell people I'm fasting, no one will know. You know? If you don't, or you don't end up in a situation where you have to say, but generally, like, no one knows that you are fasting. It is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's more ikhlas in it. Because when you have to stand up before other people and pray, or you are doing something, good action where other people are seeing too, certain actions have to be done in public, like wajibat, certain wajibat have to be done in the presence of people, right? But sawm, fasting is a wajib, which is just your niyat, and for the sake of Allah, that you will abstain from certain things. So the level of ikhlas and sincerity is very high in fasting. Another reason why, some of the ulama have mentioned this, that all other things have been shared by other religions before Islam. For example, salat, hajj, you know, zakat, different things, you see, infaq of all the different kinds, you know. Even good actions to other people, helping, service, khidmat for the people. There are things that everybody does, you know. All good actions, any good action you name, you will see non-Muslims also do it. Or people, like Abrahamic faiths, or people with some religion, you find them doing it. But fasting in the manner prescribed in Islam is only done by, Muslims. Or those before who were purely Muslims on this path. This is something unique to the, you know, religion of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is like today, for example, who else do you find who really honestly fasts? People have find ways around fasting, you know. They say, okay, you can eat or you cannot drink. You cannot drink, you drink, you cannot eat. But still, it's not fasting. And fasting truly in the way we do it, nobody does it. Nobody. So it is for the sake of Allah. Because on the order of Allah we are fasting. Not on anyone else's. Well, this I wanted to just reflect on the importance of fasting today also. And this is something there are different subjects in this holy month of Ramadan that inshallah I'll bring up, discuss every day or the other day. I wanted to discuss today one of the short surahs of Holy Quran to benefit, inshallah, this holy month. This is month of Rabi'ul Quran, Shahru Ramadan, you know. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَبِيعٍ. Everything has a spring season. وَرَبِيعُ Quran, Shahru Ramadan. And the spring of Holy Quran is the month of Ramadan. well, because it is red, people give more attention, because also it's revealed on this month, it gains importance every year. For people recite and learn about Quran, the meanings, recitation, tajweed, everything about Quran people learn. So Quran comes to life in Rabi'. So one aspect of Rabi'ul Quran is to listen to and to understand, to think about the meanings of Holy Quran, which we call tafsir. Tafsir means unveiling something. Unveil. Like some face, is covered by a niqab, you remove it. Tafsir is remove it. Unveil the meaning of Quran. For many of us, some of us don't even speak Arabic, like myself. Some of us speak Arabic, but still Quranic Arabic is different. The language of Quran is not the same as spoken elsewhere. Even the same words used in Quran, when they are used in the context of Quran, they convey a very unique meaning. The surah for today, we'll see how much we can do it, is Surah Al-Kafirun. I will recite it, and you all recite with me, and then inshallah we'll translate it and try to explain some of the meanings and lessons from this surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات
الله وسلم
Surah Al-Kafirun, the name is Kafirun. First of all, we should know the names assigned to surahs were... There were several names assigned to different surahs. Some surahs have actually 20 names, like Surah Al-Fatiha. And some other surahs have many names, So names were not revealed. The surah were revealed, but the name of the surah was not revealed. It was not wahi that you have to call this. It was a name given to the surah later on. You can tell very easily. For example, the important mafahim, ma'arif in a surah, sometimes have no relation to the name of the surah. For example, there's so much knowledge and ma'rifat in Surah Al-Baqarah. But what does Baqarah mean? It's a cow. Cow is not a word that would convey the content of the significance of surah. Is not known by the word. They were names given later on to the surahs of Holy Quran. So we should know this. The taqaddus of Quran is in the letters of the surahs and ayat and in the meaning of it, which should be understood. Kafirun is the name given to this surah. It is possible that certain surahs are named in certain riwayat. In order to tell people, for example, read this surah, either some name was given, or sometimes the first few ayat of a surah were given to tell the people, this is the surah you read, for example, in this particular salah. Idha Zulzilat, read Idha Zulzilat, meaning to say, read Surah Al-Zilzal, for instance, or certain others, Kafirun, kafara, yakfuru. Kafara means to hide something. Kafir in old Arabic, kafir was a person who was a farmer, was called a kafir. Are the farmers kafir? They are not kafir. But in old times, when the Quran was revealed, kuffar, yu'jibul kuffar, or yu'jibul kuffar, Quran says, right? Causes surprise for the kuffar. Doesn't mean surprise for the non-believers, non-Muslims. It means the farmers. Even in Quran, one place you have the same word. So kafir was a person who is to hide the seed in the ground. That's why he was called kafir. Kafara means to hide something. So he used to hide the seed in the ground. You plough the ground, then you hide the seed, or sprinkle them and hide them to protect them so that the birds don't come eat it. So how will you have a crop? So it was called a kafir. But in what we use the word kuffar and kafir is because a person is not a believer. So how does this word kafir end up being used for non-believers? And in Quran also it's used for non-believers. These are people who hide the fitrat that Allah has given them. They have covered their fitrat with the mud and clay of sins and kufr and shirk. Shirk, you know, kufr means hiding. Shirk, that means they associate sharik with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or because of their kibr, because of their arrogance, they stand against Allah, or they stand against the prophets of Allah. So they are hiding their true nature, which is the godly, the nature, the fitrah that Allah gives to human beings. You know, if a person just maintains that fitrah and does not allow it to be corrupted, people will stay Muslims. You know? Al-waladu mauludun ala al-fitrah. Yes, this madmoon, this meaning has come in the hadith, that every child is born on the fitrat. وَأَمَّا أَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ وَيُنَصِّرَانِهِ. But the parents turned this fitrat into Judaism and Christianity. They turned the child who is born according to the fitrat of Allah, with fitrat of Tawheed, they make this child, turn him into a Christian or a Jew or something else. But, you know, the fitrat is of Tawheed. So kuffar. Now kuffar are of many kinds. The people who are not Muslims, unbelievers, are many kinds of them. And the classes and categories of kuffar have been discussed in books of fiqh, you know, books of Islamic law and in books of tafsir and other places. There are kuffar who are born as kafir. There are kuffar who were Muslims and they became murtad, they become kafir now. There are kuffar who are living under the law of Islam in a Muslim country, paying the jizya. Kuffar is zimmi, kafir is zimmi. And there are kuffar who take up arms against Muslims, they are kuffar harbi. There are all these different kinds of kuffar. So we have to first understand the meaning of the surah and see to which kind of kuffar this surah is addressing. Who are the audience of this surah, you know, mainly? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. When we say with the name, Ba is, you know, Ba here is means that along with, accompany. With the name, ism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start some action with the name of something. Ar-Rahman is a sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rahman and Rahim are the madda of, is the same, Rahm. So the ishtiqaq is different. But Rahm means Rahmat, mercy. But Rahman, which sometimes you say the word Rahmaniyat, you know, and Rahim, Rahimiyat, they're taken from the same root, but the sense they give is different. The word Rahman is Mubalagha, Sirat Mubalagha, you know. It's for exaggerating something. It shows how expansive, how wide is the application of this meaning. Rahman, you know. Rahm is widespread. Rahmat of Allah is so universal. It goes to all people. No one, for example, is discriminated. No one is, for example, out of it. All are in the fold of Rahmat of Allah. Rahman means this. Rahim is sifat mushabbiha, they call it in grammar. It means it shows continuity and exclusiveness. That it is a certain unique kind of rahmat, but in a continuous sense. Rahman, as given, as explained in the books of tafsir, you will find Rahman is speaking about the rahmat of Allah to all people in this dunya. That all receive rain, all receive the light of the sun, all receive, you know, moonlight, all receive, for example, good weather and crops, and all receive, you know, the blessings, favors which are common and which are available for all people to benefit. Even, for example, the fact that Holy Quran has been revealed, it is a rahmat. or Rahmaniyat of Allah is available for all people. Now Kuffar also get Quran and read it. So it's not like Quran is only used by Muslims. All people, anybody can go to Barnes and Nobles and get a copy of it. Anyone can order Quran, get free these days. You know, like when they started burning Quran last few days, couple of years ago, it was burning, some crazy priest out there, he was burning that. Some people announced that, okay, you burn 10 Qurans, we are going to publish 10,000 Qurans and copy and give them out. This is not the answer to burning of Quran. That you start giving out Quran for free. What do they know what Quran is? You promote the message of Quran. You apply the lessons of Quran. And you reach out to people to explain to them. Right? It is to open your doors to let people in and understand who you are. That is the correct response. To engage people in a way, in a more effective way, because you have not been effective. You are making your work easy by printing 5 million copies of Quran. What are they going to do? Burn more of them probably? Some of them will read it, not many of them will not read it. We as Muslims have not been, you know, good propagators. كُنُوا دُعَاتًا إِلَى النَّاسِ بِغَيْرِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. That Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have taught us that be preachers to the people, be preachers, du'at, بِغَيْرِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ, without even using your tongue. Our contribution in the society should be visible. I mean, we shouldn't do it to show people, we should be genuinely doing things that would be seen as, you know, positive contributions. As service both to society, and by doing that we should be conveying the message of Islam to other people. And I'll come back to this subject. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Yeah, I will finish the Rahimiyat. Rahimiyat is exclusively for mu'mineen. It is hidayat khas. It is hidayatul khassa. That Allah, the Quran is for all people. But hidayah khas, you know, like a person prays to Allah. For example, a person who is looking for haqq, his heart says there is a God. And he says, Lord, O God, help me, guide me, show me the right way. And Allah, for example, brings him in contact with a knowledgeable person who explains to him what the right way is. This is hidayat khas, you know. Or a person who is lost because of whatever problem he has, you know, and Allah guides him come out of. Or a person trapped in danger of enemies, Allah shows him a way out of that. Like Ashab al-Kahf, you know, they received the rahmat khassa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were in the prison. Allah provided them a way, a faraj, so that they escaped the prison, left the prison, and all that happened given in Holy Quran. Rahimiyat. Qul, oh, say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Say, O kuffar, O non-believers. La a'budu ma ta'budun. I do not worship what you all worship. Wala antum abiduna ma abud. Nor you are worshippers of that which I worship. Again, وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. Nor am I a worshipper of that which you worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا عَبُدْ. Nor are you worshippers of that which I worship. So the same thing is repeated, right? لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. For you is your deen and for me is my deen. So you stay on your deen and I stay on my deen. So deens are not to be mixed together, you know. You stay on your deen and I stay on my deen. First of all, the occasion where this surah was revealed, it is, and that also explains why, for example, the repetition has occurred in the surah. As we find in a riwayah, please cite a salawat. In Tafsir al-Qummi, and this I'm quoting from Al-Mizan of Allama Tabatabai, Qudus Sirruh. In Tafsir al-Qummi, narrated Abu Shakir, he asked one of the disciples of our sixth Imam, one of the disciples of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, his name was Abi Ja'far al-Ahwal. So Abu Shakir, he asked Imam's disciple, Sahabi alaykum salam, he asked him, would a hakim, a wise person, repeat what he has said? A person who says something, he repeat the same thing? He was asking about, alaykum salam, he was asking, well, why, for example, in Holy Quran, we have this repetition. He was pointing at Suratul Kafirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَبُدُوا مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا عَبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا عَبُدُ. Why this takrar? Why this repetition? Now Abu Ja'far had, well, he had no answer to this. So he came all the way to Medina, wherever this dialogue occurred. He came to our sixth Imam alayhi salam to ask him the reason for this takrar. And Imam alayhi salatu wasalam replied, and he said, the reason for the nuzul, the revelation of this surah, and the repetition of these words, these ayat, was the fact that Quraysh came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, they offered to him, they came with this proposal, why don't we reconcile, why don't we strike a deal, you know? Why don't we strike a deal? 1 year you worship our gods, and then next year we worship your god, and then the following year again you worship our gods, and the fourth year we worship your god. How about that? So, in response to what they offered, this proposal, the response came in the same order, in the same way. Because they said, 1 year you worship our, next year we worship your God, then the following year. So, the same order the surah also came. La a'budu ma ta'budu. As you are saying, the first year I worship your God, it's never going to happen. I will never worship your God. This is the decree and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala antum a'biduna ma a'bud. And you will never worship what I worship. Now this is a prophecy. The second phrase is a prophecy, you know. To say that this will never happen either. For example, even if you, well, I am not worshipping your God because my God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me not to do that. And you will never worship my God either. Being a kuffar, you cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you worship Allah, then you are not kafir. So you will always be kafir. And we will come to this, for example, what kind of kuffar are we talking about? Because we know that some kuffar, well, they start studying Islam and they convert to Islam. You know. But there are some who are adamant and are arrogant and oppressors. They are the ones, the leaders of kufr, you know. Those are the ones that, those are being addressed here. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَبِدُونَ وَلَا أَنَا عَبِدُونَ. And I am not a worshipper of that which you worship. What is that thing they worship? Sorry? Idols. They used to worship idols, right? There were more than 300 or so idols in the Kaaba itself. And so I'm not going to worship them. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَبَدُونَ مَا عَبُدُ. Nor will you be worshipping, nor are you worshippers of that what I worship. So when they gave that offer, the same way Quran replied. You see why the surah was revealed? And why this takrar has happened, you see. When Abu Ja'far heard this answer, he went back to that guy, Abu Shakir, and which is some other place. I don't know where that was. Some place in Iraq probably. At that time, you know. The Hukam were mostly Bani Umayyah, Bani Abbas, those were people. Was someone over there. Anyway. So he went back and told him the answer. So he said, this answer is not your answer. This is the answer, this has been transported by camels from Hijaz. This answer has come on camel, the backs of camel, all the way from Hijaz. What did he mean to say? This is the answer given by Ahlul Bayt, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. For you is your deen and for me is my deen. Here we will have to just explore the meaning of deen. It's important to know what deen means. The belief system that we have, right, what we call aqa'id, they are the result of thinking and philosophy. The Anbiya alayhimus salam were, from the time of their birth, they were philosophers. Now, we take time to learn philosophy, sometimes 50 years, sometimes with people with more, you know, ready preparedness, they learn philosophy very fast. Depends on the clarity of the mind, the, you know, how much the mind is focused, how much it can grasp those concepts. We take time. Aql does not, the numuv, the growth of aql is not at the same time in human beings. Some in their infancy, some in the, you know, the teenage, some in further down the road, the aql comes to maturity later. Not everyone, for example, grasps these concepts of logic or philosophy at the same time. It's different for different people. But the nutfa of the Anbiya and Mursaleen and A'imma alayhi salam was so khalis and pure and nurani that at the point of inception, the point they were born, and even before birth, the point of conception, the moment they came to this world, right, point of formation, the ruh was so pure that it grasped the universal concepts and aqa'id and everything instantly. This is the only word I can find, instantly. Because even to say a second or fraction of a second, it was too much. They grasped everything. Their aql was kamil. Since their aql was kamil, it's like a container, you know. There's this riwayat says, "Kullu wi'a'in yadiqu bima ju'ila fi." I'm trying to remember, I'm not sure about the words. Every vessel gets filled to the top when something is poured into it, right? Illa wi'a'ul ilm. Except the container of knowledge. Alaykum as-salam. Fa'innahu yattasi'u. Because the vessel and container of knowledge only increases in its volume, increases in its size. The more knowledge you put into the container of knowledge, the more vast and big it gets. What is the wi'a wal ilm? What is the container of knowledge? Tell me. Aql. Because the brain is a wasila. Aql is ruh, is mujarrad, it's metaphysical, it's not physical. Aql, you know, is the container in which knowledge comes. The more knowledge you pour into it, the more bigger, vast it gets. The capacity increases. Capacity of the aql, aql increases, in other words. Aql increases. When we say aql kamil, that means endless capacity. Endless. There's no limit to how much it knows, how much it can still know. For us to say, for example, the press of a button. The press of a button is like you have a computer in front of you, all you have to do is press enter and you get it. Even that much is not required for them. The aql is kamil. If they don't want to know something, it's only because of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they don't know it. Otherwise they can know it. Their aql is kamil from the time they enter this dunya, right? Before birth. In Iqadun Nutfa, their heart, the eyes of their ruh is open that they grasp. So they are philosophers. They are philosophers. Great awliya were the greatest philosophers. The greatest philosopher was Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. You cannot find anyone explaining Tawheed better than Imam alayhi salam. Just read one of his khutbahs, open any of the khutbahs and say how. No one before or after has. Now, the Holy Prophet could do that, but Imam got the opportunity to do that. That's why he did it. If the Holy Prophet had lived another some many years, he would have unveiled. But the reason why we have Ahlul Bayt is because the message was promoted and explained. So, Aql, their Aql was Kamal from the start. So they grasped all the meanings, all the aqaid, everything. It did not require them any time to do that. And what is deen? Deen is about things that you cannot grasp just by thinking. Whatever can be learned through thinking, the Holy Prophet of Islam knew it. The moment he came to this dunya, he knew it. Of course, his ruhani, his nurani wujud knew everything, doesn't have to. I'm talking about his earthly, his maddi being, okay? So don't confuse it. Is being in this dunya. But there are, by being a human being, there are things you can capture by thinking, by proper thinking. By correct thinking, you can grasp those things. But there are other things that you just can't. Whatever you do. Those are all the things, the huge, huge domain which is outside the domain of intellect. Domain of aql. To fill that huge gap in knowledge, that void, intellectual void I call it, that intellectual void, you know. Mantiqatul faragh al-aqli they call it in Arabic. Mantiqatul faragh al-aqli, that faragh is outside the sphere of aql, that you cannot understand just by thinking. You cannot say, okay, I'm going to think and figure out, for example, how to pray. I'm going to figure out, for example, what happened 5,000 years ago. I'll sit down and think, for example, what are the laws of miras, for example, laws of inheritance. I will sit down myself without any access to Quran, hadith, anything, and without any proper learning, prior learning. I will just sit down and figure out, for example, what are the laws regarding criminal cases like murder, rape, theft, whatever. I will figure out what are the punishments for these cases. This is not something we can figure out ourselves. Or what's beyond material world, you know, what's, for example, the specifics of Akhirat, the details of Alam and Barzakh, for example. I cannot say, okay, I can figure this out. I can think and I'll tell you everything. No, I can't. These are all things that this void is filled by wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. The Holy Quran says, وَعَلَّمَكَ. He taught you things that you were unable to know. لَمْ تَكُنْ. It doesn't say مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمْ. It says عَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. In Arabic, مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمْ is different from مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمْ means you did not know. مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ means you were unable to know. There was no way you could know those things. Being a human being, even an insani kamil, needs wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revelation. Wahi that has to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fill that gap. Tell a person, okay, a person, for example, because of correct thinking, now he knows there is a creator. Now he knows that my kamal, my perfection is being in closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am close to Allah, then I am kamil. If I am away from Allah, I am naqis. I am naqis if I am ba'id, I am away from Allah. But how do I get close to Allah? Let's say a person, because of true thinking, correct thinking, he accepts that there is a creator for this universe. He comes out of, leaves atheism, becomes a believer. Now he's a believer now, but he doesn't know what to do now. Okay, I want to talk to God. How do I do that? When? What is the way? What are the conditions for it? Sharaat. And what action leads to what kind of results? I don't know. Results in dunya, results in akhirat, I don't know. These are things that are known through the Holy Quran and through the Sunnah of Muhammad wa Al Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. So it is not a defect in any human being. It is just being a human being means that you need wahi. And what you get from wahi and from hadith, Quran and hadith, is what we call deen. Deen is something that comes from Allah. Munzal min Allah ta'ala. Now either munzal and maktub in wahi, in Quran, or munzal and not maktub in Quran, not in part of Quran, but through the lisanul ma'sumin alayhi wasallam. That the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, they explain to us. A lot of things not in Quran. That's why you have Biharul Anwar. Only Biharul Anwar has got 100,000 hadith. You know. One kitab of Shia is a mufakhir of Shia, Allama Majlisi. Allah Muqamah, he, that one book has 100,000 hadith in it. You compare with books of hadith of, for example, Ahlul Sunnah. Right? If you put all the Sihah of Ahlul Sunnah, Masaneed, everything put together, it's not more than 15,000 hadith. 15,000, 20,000. One book of hadith, one of the majami of hadith of Tashayyo, just Biharul Anwar has got 100,000 hadith. And then there are other books too. These teachings, practices, moral teachings, religious practices, moral teachings, to details about tarikh. There are things that are not documented in history. Who was Prophet Musa alayhi salam? Who was Prophet Isa alayhi salam? They came either in Quran or they came in hadith. The things about Prophet Musa alayhi salam in Quran, the things about, the Quran talks about Prophet Musa not as a person in history, narrating facts and like where he was born, how many years he lived, how many children he had. No. Those are not things of interest in Holy Quran. Quran has a different purpose for doing that. Inshallah, some other discussion we'll get to that. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. For you is your deen. For me is my deen. My deen is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those things that human beings don't know, you need help with that, Allah provides me help. For you who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where do you get your deen? That is what they either got from their ancestors. A lot of them things have been in tahrif, the mixed up. You know, like for example, Arabs also used to do hajj over there, but the hajj was so corrupted that it was not the hajj of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It was a hajj of a ritual that they used to do themselves. But that was the deen that they would follow. The way, the practices, the morals. Of course, any belief system leads to certain practices, morals, and rituals and adat, you know, sunan of the society. Belief in Allah leads to certain, you know, practices and morals. Belief in something else leads to something else. It's not the same thing. So the Holy Prophet said, you mind your business, in other words. For example, you do your practices because your belief system is different, so you fill that gap with something else. My belief system is in Tawheed. Okay, and therefore my morals and my practices are different from yours. Your practices, you keep, you are doing your practices, and I keep doing my practices. So there's no overlap. This needs some explanation, inshallah, tomorrow, this, because it has applications and interfaith dialogue also. What is the application of this? Of this, what they call interfaith dialogue, trying to find overlap, trying to find a common religious thing between two religions. Quran is not in favor of that. Quran doesn't say there's something in common between religions. There's something common between human beings that you can use. Okay? Inshallah, we'll elaborate that more. May Allah increase our knowledge and Allah increase our siyam this holy month and tilawat al Quran and give us tawfiq of amal khair in this dunya and qabool in akhirat and shifaat of Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat.